Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News.
Greetings to everyone from around the world. I welcome you back to ACC Global News. And again, we are welcoming all listeners from North and also South America, and also from overseas. I am your host, Matthew Connor. And again, I am very happy to be joining you all on this very beautiful day. Now, today, ACC News brings to you another very unique guest with really a very unique practice. We have with us end-of-life consultant, Nikki Ryan, and she is the founder of Family Table Talks. And to everyone out there in the audience today, to anyone that has ever thought about death or planning for their death or planning for the death of a loved one, again, please get comfortable and listen in very closely, because our guest today, Nikki Ryan, will be sharing a lot of wonderful information with us on this topic. Now, it is now Wednesday, the 29th of March. I would like to remind all of our guests tuning in, especially our guests from overseas, if you do miss any portion of our segment today with Nikki, it will be permanently archived on our ACC Global Media Blog Talk Radio site. So please visit us at blogtalkradio.com/ACC Global Media. Now, also, if you're a big part of social media, many of us are now, it's a worldwide thing. We are also on Facebook, and you can listen to the show live from there as well. Please visit us at facebook.com/ACC Global Media. And it's the same thing with Twitter. You can listen to the show from that as well. Please visit us at twitter.com/ACC Global Media. And you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. Now, we all have the same diagnosis in life. We will die. And for most of us, we stick death in a dark corner, and we pretend that it doesn't exist. But there are people like Nikki Ryan who want to bring death really out of the shadows, the fear out of the only thing everyone on this planet really has in common. Now, Nikki is a pioneer in the end of the life field. And in matters concerning deteriorating health, dying, she really has the tools and the resources to provide information and support that is really unrestricted by organizational limits. And with her bachelor's in psychology, diverse experiences in social services, education, and most importantly, she has the experience and the compassion needed to help others. Now, Nikki strongly believes that there is no wrong way to discuss or prepare for the end of life. She meets everyone where they are and really helps them reach their goals. And many people in the audience are thinking this. Many of us know people. Not everyone is really ready to talk about their death. But what all of us can agree on is that it's an important conversation to have. To our audience today, I am very proud to present to you End of Life Consultant, founder of Family Table Talks, Miss Nikki Ryan. How are you doing today, Nikki?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I am doing very well. We're very happy to have you on air today, really speaking on a very unique topic, a topic that we all are really aware of, but not really many of us speak about. Before we really get to anything, Nikki, if you could please share with our audience, who exactly is Nikki Ryan?
Well, I'm a native Hoosier. I've lived here my life. I live here with my husband and my son, and I have two grown children who live nearby with their fiancés. And I created Family Table Talks because I want to change the way that we deal with death and dying.
And you mentioned Family Table Talks. Well, what exactly is Family Table Talks?
Wow, it's a lot of things. I'd like to say it's simply all things in regards to death and dying, from unexpected events to an expected death of a loved one. I discuss advanced planning for death, but I also help when people have a significant change in their health, like a stroke or a heart attack, that could be the beginning of a spiral towards the end of life. It doesn't have to be, but those type of events certainly are a time to start examining what could happen next. And I named the company Family Table Talks because I, like a lot of people, remember growing up when we played games or watched TV in the living room, but the heart-to-heart conversations happened at the family table, which was usually in the kitchen, and everyone who was in there knew where the coffee was. They knew just to get up and help themselves, and that's where real life happened. And that's what I want to bring back. I want people to get back to that family table and back to having those discussions that we've just kind of pushed away because death became a medical event.
Yes. And I know many people in the audience are thinking of this. What really motivated you to start your business, and how it's really different from other similar services out
there? Sure. Well, I've always been comfortable talking about death and dying, but it became really clear to me that there was a problem care manager for our local area agency on aging. And with that job, we helped people who qualified for Medicaid and who without services would have to go into a nursing home but wanted to be at home. And our services focused strictly on what they needed at the moment, and we often were reactive to whenever things happened. And it didn't feel right to me. We weren't taking the time, and we couldn't. That wasn't the way our jobs were designed, to talk about what the next step is, what would we do if something happened. And we had times when caregivers at the home would suddenly die, and we would have to come up with a plan B, or suddenly their health did take a turn for the worst, and the caregiver was scrambling around for resources. We would have to try to find things for them. So I tried to find what was available out there, and there simply wasn't anything. So I decided that something needed to happen, and I looked into creating this business.
And most importantly, how did you really prepare to really start a service with no previous business model? There's not many people out there that do.
Yeah, that was kind of tricky, trying to define exactly what all I wanted to do and how I was going to get the training for that. And some of it was through organizations that provided bits and pieces of the puzzle. And I really do have kind of a puzzle going now. I have the end-of-life coach certification now and an end-of-life coach trainer. And I had to examine a lot of the current studies that are out there, what is working, what isn't. I looked at a bunch of the advanced care guides that are out there, advanced planning, and a lot of the different tools that are put in place, that each one took care of a little niche of the services, but none of them were bringing them together to make it a comprehensive situation. And through all that, I started to realize that there were some barriers that prevented the care that needed to be addressed.
And you mentioned barriers. What exactly are barriers?
The barriers are things that are really making it difficult for us to do the things that we need to do in regards to the end-of-life care. First, a lot of the people listening might be familiar with Atul Gawande. He has been a strong advocate to have the conversations for the end of life. And they have, again, a guide that people can use, but we're not breaking the barrier of having the initial conversation. The suggestions that are routinely given are to just say, we need to talk, or I'm concerned about something. But it's still a big obstacle to have to overcome. And there's not a lot of follow-through on those. It's kind of like you're giving the kit, and that's it. You're supposed to sit and do it and maybe get it formalized. But we're not really talking about what it really means to go through all that. We talk about if you become incapacitated, for example, you cannot speak for yourself. But if you really think about it, what that means is that you're powerless. You are absolutely helpless. You cannot communicate what you want. And so you have to put your trust into somebody else to make the decisions that you would want for yourself. And when we put it in that sense and we face with that how vulnerable you really are, I think a lot of people would say, yeah, I really do want to get that done. But then on top of that, they don't always know what the choices are. We talk about the advanced directives with the need to have, do you want CPR? Do you want artificial nutrition? But what does that mean? What are the risks? What are the benefits? And is it a quality of life that you would want to have? So those are some of the barriers. We also found out recently there was a study that just came out that indicated that although people are starting to have the conversations, they're still missing the direct communication. Caregivers and their loved ones will sit there and say, yeah, we've had the talk. We know what we want. But actually what the person is saying is, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be a burden. Things like that that are very, very vague. And then the caregiver has to go back to square one of trying to figure out, what does that person want? Would doing a procedure be a burden to them? Would not doing it be a burden to them? And again, we still don't have those sources that are spelling it out, because the main resource we have are our doctors, and they simply do not have the time, and some of them just don't have the training to be able to address those situations.
Absolutely. So what I would like to ask you, Nikki, once people do reach out to you, what are the services that you do provide, and what can someone expect once they meet you?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I want them to feel is comfortable with me. I do not want to impose a particular view or belief on anyone. Everybody has their own path and everybody has their own decisions. What I want to do is help guide them to where they need to go. So at first, it's just kind of getting to know them and finding out exactly what their need is. For some people, it might be that advanced directive. For another family, it might be that the caregiver just is feeling absolutely hopeless in being able to provide help because they don't know the tools. They so often get out of balance because they are trying to juggle their own lives plus taking care of this other person. And it's so easy to get lost in the other person and forget about yourself. So sometimes that needs to be addressed. Sometimes people need an advocate to sit and talk with the family because the families sometimes aren't on board with what the individual wants.
Yes.
So it's pretty dynamic. It's not always just about talking either. There is a game I like from Common Practice called Hello that is very useful. I call it a death in canvas painting to provide a positive way to start the conversations. And I also have other things like medical bracelets through Endeavor that people can wear that can provide immediate access to the documents. That's one of the other problems is we may do the planning, but we're not actively getting that into the hands of the medical professionals.
Yeah. And it's great because you have so many different unique methods that you incorporate into your practice. What I would like to know, Nikki, if you could really share with the audience, what are your personal experiences with death and how do they affect your business?
Well, I think that there's two that kind of stand out to me, and both were about 10 years ago. And about 6 months apart from each other. One is a personal friend. She already had significant heart damage that she had a heart attack, and she went to the emergency room, and her husband and adult son sat there, and it was about 2 hours while they tried to stabilize her, and they would revive her, but then her heart would fail again, and she never regained consciousness. But they would come out and give updates, and they would describe her as being a fighter. And so her son said that he kind of felt like a jerk when the thought crossed his mind that maybe this isn't, we should just go ahead and let her go. And then shortly after that, we started into hospice care for my mother, and she had COPD. And it was absolutely... it took me completely off guard with the amount of effort that we needed to help her stay home and provide support for each other. There's six of us kids, my father, and our families, and we all had to sacrifice during that time to make it happen. And even then at the end, I felt kind of the same way when she reached the point where we were just keeping vigil and she was unconscious. It was that, wow, you know, how much longer can we do this? And a lot of people they feel that way, but they don't feel comfortable expressing it. They feel guilty or they feel like it's wrong. And so when I bring up my own experience, usually I hear, yeah, I felt the same way. Or I wish I had thought of what kind of music or what kind of air fresheners. The little things that maybe provide comfort. And both of those experiences, I think, are pretty representative of what most of us face when we deal with the death of a loved one. It's usually on one side or the other, and both sides need help. With Janet, nobody talked about what would happen if she survived. Is that a quality of life that she wanted? And although we didn't have that with my mom, we knew what was going to happen. We did miss opportunities to discuss what she might like, what we could do that made it easier for us. It helped me understand a lot of the dynamics of both sides of it.
And I think it's very important that you have some of these experiences firsthand. And to everyone in the audience out there that is seeking help, again, this is somebody that has firsthand experience going through this situation. So you touched on something, you really spoke about it, about family conflicts. And it's a big part of this whole death process. How do you help when there is a conflict? Like when someone wants to die, but their family wants to continue life-saving measures.
Yeah, that can be really hard. First, a lot of it could be avoided if we talk in advance. And if there is a healthcare proxy, which is that one person that's designated to speak on your behalf. And as long as there's a solid communication there and that individual is aware of the responsibilities they have, which is that they are going to have to follow through with what their loved one wants, whether they agree with it or not, because that's the commitment that they made, that can help a lot of the problems is sharing in advance with the family. And when I talk about having to be able to be strong enough to follow through with it, that's not always strong enough to let that person go. Sometimes that could be the other way around, where the proxy, the representative, doesn't want to see them suffer anymore, but the individual wants to continue to pursue either a treatment or pursue something that is going to be detrimental in some way, but this is their choice. But if you don't have that happen, I know at least in Indiana, and it's not representative of all states, if, say, for example, something were to happen to me, if I didn't have my healthcare representative designated, I told you there were six of us, my siblings, all five, my two adult children, my husband and my father would all have equal say in my care, and that can get really messy really quick.
Yeah.
And so at those times, we kind of have to sit down and try to figure out why there's the differences. What is it that is causing that barrier in the case of the person who is going to, who wants to die? It could be, is there a moral or religious background that's preventing that from accepting the situation? So it takes a little bit of negotiation and listening and understanding.
And when you do mention, you know, the different family members, I've seen it firsthand. It's definitely something that could become confusing when there's so many different people trying to come up with the best decision. What I would like to know, Nikki, how do you work with medical professionals?
Oh, I think that it could be and is an excellent relationship, because I can fill the void that they don't have the time to sit down and adjust the questions with everyone, and I can cover a lot of the basic groundwork before they get to the doctor. So when they do get there, their questions are going to be more effective, they're going to be more precise, and there's going to be a much better understanding of where they're at, what maybe the next steps may be. And I also help people sometimes define what it is that they want. Because say, for example, if someone has cancer, they may be given a lot of options of treatments and risks may be discussed. But sometimes the real question needs to be, what is it that you want to be able to do? And that could be somebody saying, I want to live long enough for this date to happen. I want to go on a trip or something like that. And once that's identified, then that makes a huge impact on where the discussion will go with the doctor after that. And then the individual is heard. The plan of care is going to be custom for their needs. And it's overall going to be a much better experience for them.
What I would like to know, Nikki, and again, I know many people are thinking this, what do you get out of this? What's the personal satisfaction you get from the people that you help?
Wow, it's so many levels. The caregivers are grateful to have that chance to do what they call the right thing for their loved one. They're so much more at peace with the decisions that were made. The individuals themselves, they have the opportunity at the end to focus on their quality of life and enjoying being with the people around them, or to have things go the way that they always imagined their ideal death would be, whether that's in a hospital or at a home or wherever. And it just makes death a more loving and enriching experience. And I think that that's just the way it should be. And we've lost sight of that. So to bring that back and have people realize that, yeah, we all have to deal with it, and we may not want to, but it doesn't have to be as scary and as eerie as we think it is.
Yes. And again, that's usually the feeling that many people have. So I'm happy that you did mention that.
Well, so, and I joke about it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I joke about it, and I say that we're all part of the death club, and the number one rule right now is you don't talk about the death club. And it's kind of crazy because we should, and we're only hurting ourselves because we don't.
Yes. Well, Nikki, where can people go to either, you know, find out more information about you or sign up for your program?
Sure. They can go to my website. It's Family Table Talks, and it is plural, talks.com. They can email me at familytabletalks@gmail.com. I also have the same name on Facebook, or they can call me. It's 317-771-1279.
And to the audience out there, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So if anybody has any questions, they want additional information, or just kind of want to know what they can do to maybe do something like this, I'd be happy to talk to them.
And I was about to mention to the audience again that it's Family Table Talks, plural with an S, .com. And we have about a minute left, Nikki. Do you have any parting words that you would like to share with the audience today?
That it's never too soon, but it can be too late. Accidents happen, there are car wrecks, and suddenly your world can change in a minute. And so don't wait, because the peace of mind and the quality, the gift that you give to other people by having this done can just be more than you may ever know. And to get a gift like that from someone is just incredible.
And I definitely agree to everyone out there. Again, you know, we are all aware that this is very difficult to talk about. But again, it's very important, especially for all of our loved ones that we do leave behind if something, God forbid, was to happen. So, again, Nikki, I thank you very much for joining us today and really speaking on a very important topic that all of us are going to have to deal with at one point or another. So, again, I thank you very much for joining us today and sharing this information with our audience.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be with you. Thank you as well.
And to our audience out there, again, please visit us at accglobalmedia.com for all future show dates and times. And I thank you all for joining us today, and I look forward to having you all back with us again on our next segment. You all have a wonderful day. To you as well, Nikki. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.